Standing on the cross. I am on the upward road leading to that bright abode where forever my soul shall be free. Won't that be a happy time? Heaven's bells will sweetly chime when the whole gate swings open for me. For me will be a happy day when the clouds have passed away. From my bed I shall be praying when the whole gate swings open for me. For me. Oh, sometimes the path may lead through the veil of pain and grief.
Yeah.
light, sailing to a better home, where the Savior of all the earth now abides. Leaving all our trials here, many pleasures wait us there, when we cross the foam and reach the other side. We are sailing on, we're sailing, sailing all day long. We are clinging to our captain as the angry billows fall. Then yet soon we'll reach the harbor and be safe beyond the tide. We are going under to the other side. Many millions now abide in that home beyond the tide, where the ransomed pilgrims wait free from care. There is room on board for all who will lead the captain's call and take ship for heaven's country bright and fair. We are sailing on, we're sailing, sailing all day long. We are clinging to our captain as the angry billows foam. Soon, yet soon we'll reach the harbor and be safe beyond the tide. We are going onward to the other side. I'm ready to move to heaven, to a land that's fair and bright, where there is perfect peace in that everlasting light. Jesus has come to build for me a mansion there, I know. The next time that you see me, I may be living in my heavenly home. The next time that you see me, maybe on streets of gold. The next time that you see me, I may be wearing a brand new robe. I may be kneeling at his feet or shaking his nail-scarred hand. The next time that you see me, I may be living in glory land. You may come to visit me and knock upon my door. You may not get an answer. I won't be living there anymore. I'm just here for a short while, and then I'll soon be gone. The next time that you see me, I may be living in my brand new home. The next time that you see me, maybe on streets of gold. The next time that you see me, I may be wearing a brand new robe. I may be kneeling at his feet or shaking his nail-scarred hand. The next time that you see me, I may be living in glory land. I wandered aimlessly down Sin Street pathway. No hope in life could see, no peace within. But when he came to me with grace so full and free, I never knew love till I met him. I never knew love till I met Jesus. Stand complete. He fills my every
Hey, man, that's good. Come on, Brother Mays.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sammy. And I tell you, after that good singing, you ought to feel like, well, we ought to take a recess and shout about 30 minutes right here. Amen. I tell you, it's good to come to God's house. And this is the day the Lord hath made, and we ought to be glad, and we ought to praise the Lord. And I'm glad today that that old story never grows old. And we that have heard it most love it better every time we hear it. I mean, we hunger and thirst after hearing about His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension. And praise God, He's coming again. And I'm glad He is coming. Aren't you glad for that? And I've enjoyed it this week. In case we get busy this afternoon, I want to say a couple of things this morning. First of all, I want to say that I've enjoyed being here this week. I praise the Lord for this church and Brother Sammy. And I praise God for His family and for you that hold up His hands and stand with Him here in the great work here at the church and also the camp. My wife has mentioned two or three times this week how she thanks God for a clean church. I mean, you go into some churches and they're so moppy-headed, you don't know whether you're standing by Mr. or Mrs. or mistake. You don't know what you're standing behind. I mean, it's pitiful. And it's been good to come. I tell you, when you can tell the men from the boys and the girls and the women, you can tell when you look out who's who. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be in the house of God. And I praise the Lord for that. You don't find many churches that are, I mean, I'm talking about independent, fundamental churches even, that are taking a real stand on biblical separation and how that we're to be separated from the world unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not much preached anymore on scriptural, biblical separation. And there needs to be. And I thank God for this church and for you that make up the body. I tell you, you ought to thank God for a church and a pastor that leads you and a work here that you can come and enjoy. Now, I've enjoyed the good singing of the choir, brother, and then the trio, and then Jimmy Lou and all the singing. It's been a blessing. Now, I don't know but one little chorus, and it goes like this. I'm under the spout where the glory comes out. There'll always remain where there's plenty of rain, under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, somebody said, I don't like that glory. Well, don't bother me. I like it. Praise the Lord. I like to be around where you can enjoy the good blessings of the Lord. So I thank God for the church here. And we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be asking God to bless this church and to use it mightily because, listen, as the coming of the Lord draws near, there's going to be a falling away that you, like you never witnessed in your life. And you're going to see more people that one time stood, you know, just drifting back and compromising and saying, well, we don't want to be odd. We don't want to be, you know, pushed off the side. They'll get in the mainstream. But I'm glad God's got some people and God's got this church where you folks can really stand for God in these days. So I wanted to say that in case we got busy this afternoon. And I forgot it. I didn't want to forget. You know, sometimes I forget things. I went to a place the other day, and somebody said to me, he said, where's your wife? I said, I knew I forgot something. Hallelujah. Well, Now, I appreciate my wife coming. Somebody said if Mays had the convictions his wife did, he'd be all right. Amen. My wife believes you ought to live like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I believe you ought to live right. Amen. We appreciate her coming. Dot, I want you to stand this morning because you might get busy this afternoon and not have a chance. And I want you to stand and give a word of testimony. I appreciate her. I've never preached hard enough for her. She ain't never heard a preacher preach hard enough. Lord of God, I used to preach till my tongue was hanging out. And I mean, I preached on everything that wiggled. And I'd go out and God'd say, well, you didn't get hard enough. I said, Lord, have mercy. I hit everything. I even preached against chewing gum. You can't get much worse than that. Amen. Amen. Doc, we're glad for her being with us. So I want her to stand and give us a word of testimony. And we appreciate her being here today. Hey.
Yes, yes.
Everyone here
will have
heard.
Yeah, like that. Amen. Yes, he did. Yes. Yes.
That's right. Oh, yes. 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 Yes.
Hey, amen. Well, we appreciate my wife getting to be with us and for the meeting. I think she's been here every night, and we've had a good time. We praise the Lord for that. Now, let me say that this afternoon, Brother Sandy said, I'll tell you about the truck driver special. And it's a miracle. It's something I want you to hear about. But then I want you to hear the message, because I'm going to preach this afternoon on the new war on Jesus Christ. They declared war on the Son of God. I want you to be here to hear that message this afternoon. And they say they'll make him an ordinary man. I got news for him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and nobody's going to make him an ordinary man. Everything about him, supernatural. Praise God, I'm glad for the Lord Jesus. You be here. Then I'll tell you about the truck driver special. I'll tell you just a little about it now. Tonight, and of course you can hear it all over the country with the big stations we're on, but it starts off like this. You never heard a program start off like this. And it starts off with a big rig. And it starts off, you can hear it running, and you can hear him let out his air brakes, and you can hear him blow his horn, and then the man says, we present the truck driver special. And then I talked to and preached to truck drivers riding along the super slabs of America. And I don't care whether you're in Toronto, Canada, or I don't care whether you're in Miami, Florida, San Diego, California, Seattle, Washington, Lincoln, Nebraska, Dallas, Texas, Louisiana, or Tennessee, or New York City, or Chicago, wherever you are tonight after midnight, and I'll tell you why we got after midnight. Most truck drivers use those CBs up to about midnight, and so we got after midnight so we could get those fellows out there that are lonely and sad and looking for something. Then I believe, brother, that we have the inspirations to sing. Then I pray for the truck drivers and their families. And then I bring them a message, just direct to the truck driver. Something about, have you missed the way of life? Do you want somebody to ride there in that rig with you that knows all about you and that loves you and will never leave you nor forsake you, that will save you and give you peace and joy? But we'll tell you a little more about that this afternoon. And then if you're up tonight at 12:30, you can hear the truck driver special. You can hear it on San Antonio, Texas, which is the biggest station in the Midwest. It goes 1,200 miles into Mexico. It goes all the way to the Canadian border. I got a letter yesterday from a truck driver that said I was riding in Wisconsin. And he said, I heard your broadcast. Said, I got to shouting and riding in my truck. Said, I'm a Christian truck driver. Said, boy, it blessed me to death. You know what he said? He said, guess where I heard you preaching from? I thought he was going to say Cincinnati or Waterloo, Iowa, the great northern Midwest station that we have. And he said, I heard you from San Antonio, Texas, way up here in Wisconsin. But it does go up there real clear. And then we have the biggest station on the West Coast, KFI, at midnight in Los Angeles. The biggest station, a 50,000-watt station with no other place on the, no other station in the world on that dial, on 640. And you say, no, WSM's on 650. Savannah, Georgia's on 630. There is no other station on 640 in the world. It goes all the way from Los Angeles to Alaska, all the way down into Mexico, and I was in Anniston, Alabama, and I heard it the other night. If you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, now, say, what time will it be? You might have to get up to pray. You go over and cut on at 6:40, and it'll be 12 o'clock, Los Angeles time. It'll be 3 o'clock here. You can hear that powerful station, and we'll be on there with the truck driver special. And so we'll say a little more about that this afternoon. But and God showed me, he said, don't ever ask for any money from truck drivers or anybody else out there. He said, just tell the people and let them pray, and then they'll get the burden, and the need will be met. God said, I'll meet your need, all your need. God said he'll meet our need according to his riches and glory. And I'm glad he'll meet our need. Now, not our wants, but our needs. And I'm glad for the need. And I want you to pray for this. I'm going to have you this afternoon to write something in front of your Bible. Pray for the truck driver special. I want you to pray that every old truck driver out there will get saved that listens. I'm having a map made up, a regular map. It's not a map of Georgia. It's not a map of California, but it's just like a map. You'd have it in a filling station. You'd pick it up for a map. But it's the truck driver's map to heaven. And it tells you how to go to heaven, praise the Lord. Got stop signs in it, dangerous curve, slow, and scripture about it. And they can take that map and read it. We have a Bible we're putting out. It's going to be a nice Bible, a nice leather back. It's going to have a big rig right here. And it's called the Truck Driver's Bible. Somebody said, what edition? You know what edition it'll be. It'll be the King James Version. Amen? Amen. I don't believe in any other Bible but the King James Version. I believe that. I believe that's the only one. I believe that's the Bible. And I tell you, I praise God for it. Now take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn quickly. I want to bring you a message that will help you in days to come. You know, I believe that a preacher's message ought to help folk. And I want to get into the message. I'll not preach too long, but I do want you to get the message this morning concerning the master of the sea. Now, if you ever realize that Jesus Christ is the master of the sea. Now, the Bible said in the book of the Revelation that in heaven there will be no more sea. Do you know why it says that in heaven there will be no more sea? Sea is the type of the troubled nations of the world and the confusion of the world and the storms of the world. But bless God, I'm going where there be no storm clouds gather. I'm going where there be no thunder and there be no lightning in the city of God. And Jesus is also the master down here. And we'll see that from the Word of God. If you have your Bible, Mark chapter 4 is a great chapter. And I want you to notice with me, beginning with verse 35. When you find Mark chapter 4, I'm going to have you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 35, and then we'll pray and have the message of the morning. Would you stand with me, please, for the reading of the Scripture? Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I'm going to begin reading with this verse 35 and read down through verse 41. The Bible said, and the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Now I want you to notice something in this verse. If Jesus ever tells you you're going to the other side, I don't care how many storms come up, bless God, he's going to land you safe on the other side. And he said, let's go over to the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took unto him, took him in even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. I won't stop right there. I used to preach a sermon on sonship, fellowship. Glory to God, you can get a lot of these little ships around there. And the Bible said there are other little ships. But let's read on. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship, so that it was now full, F-U-double-L. Now, when your boat gets full, your ship gets full, you're going to do some praying. Brother, you're going to do something when your boat gets full. I mean, you can't just sit there. It'll sink. And so it said that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, don't notice that word, Master. Master, care us not that we perish. Now, I believe last year when I was up here, I preached on the Jesus care. Maybe got it from this scripture right here. Brother, Jesus cares. You may feel like nobody cares about you this morning, but I'm glad Jesus cares about every person in this house. He cares about your home. He cares about your life. He cares about everything that pertains to you. My Jesus cares. They said, Master, cares not that we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. Now notice he didn't say to the wind. He said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. I like that. There was a calmness over that sea. Boy, I mean, is it still, as the stillest morning that you've ever wakened to. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? Now, I don't know whether you've ever been in a tornado or not. I do not know whether you've ever been in a storm. But I want to say to you, when it gets, I mean, that wind and that tornado really gets severe. Did you know? The Bible said he rides on the storm. Glory to God. He can say peace. And the Word of God said, and there was a great calm. I want you to be seated, if you will, out of the house. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in just a moment, I will bring you the message because I believe it'll be a help to you in days to come. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, you've been so good, and we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Sandy, a great camp, the Word, the evangelistic services. God, you've given him up and down this great country. We thank you for the many thousands of people that you've let him lead to our blessed Christ. And then we thank you for this church that holds up his hands. This church, our Father, that stands behind him. I pray, God, you'll bless these folk. And Lord, use this church. May it grow in number. Not only number, but may it grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you this morning that you loved us. Thank God that you still love us and that you want to speak to our hearts today through the Word of God. I pray, our Father, that our minds will be drawn in, that we'll have our minds stayed upon God. And whatever you do, we'll bless you because, God, when you choose for us, then we know that it's best for us. I pray you'll choose for every dad. I pray you'll choose for every mother, every son and every daughter, our Father that's gathered here for this worship hour. And Lord, we're going to praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way, and for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the master of the sea. Now, I hear somebody say, Brother Mays, is the Lord Jesus Christ all that powerful? I'm glad he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. It's God's power. The Lord Jesus Christ is not limited. When he stood before Pilate, he said, Pilate, you'd have no power except my Father which is in heaven give it to thee. And I'm glad for such a great Savior. He's a great Savior. We used to sing a song, Brother Sandy, entitled, He's a Wonderful Savior to Me. I'm glad that I can report to you ever since I've been saved. He's never failed me once. He has never failed you once. You might have failed him, but Christ has never failed you. And because of the time limit, I want to show you two things by introduction. Now let's go back one night upon the sea. Let's go back to the night when the disciples were out in the Sea of Galilee. And you say, Brother Mays, what were they doing? They were sailing with Jesus. And brother, when you're sailing with Jesus, it's always a blessed experience. And as they sail with the Lord let them be tried. Now, the reason he did that, he loved them. Sometimes you think because of your hardships and your trials that God doesn't love you. But, oh, it's not strange. When we have these fiery trials, it's proving that God loves us and he's getting us ready for something better. And you say, Brother Mays, what happened? It was on the sea. And all at once, while Jesus was asleep, the storm came up and the wind blew, and those disciples became frantic. One of them said, our boat's full. Call on the master. And brother, if you'll see this, it'll bless your heart. They said, Master, care us not that we perish. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood up, held up his hand, and said to the waves and the wind, cease and lie down. And brother, I can see that great storm turn into the greatest calm you've ever seen. You say, hallelujah. He's the master of the sea. That's right. The angry billows lie down. Now I want to show you something better than that encounter 1900 years ago. I want to show you something better than that night when Jesus come. The stormy sea. You say, what could be better? Do you remember that day? Or do you remember that night when the storm was beating upon your soul? And you lifted your hand and said, help! And then Jesus, the Master, thank God, stepped up in your heart, held up his hand, and said, peace be still. That was the greatest time of your life. I'm glad tonight, this morning, that I can take you to the place where that old storm was beating on me. I saw the boat was full. And I said, Master, care us not, we perish in so many words. All I could do is call on his name. And I'm glad he stepped up in my heart, held up his hand, and said, peace be still. That's a great moment when the calmness of God comes over your soul. And I want you, if you got your pencils this morning, I want you to jot down some things that Jesus is master over. First of all, Jesus is master over darkness. And you know, the Bible said, darkness, darkness, they love darkness because their deeds are evil. The world is lying in darkness. And beloved, darkness is a type of evil. And darkness is a type of sin. But God is light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Aren't you glad? You say, but preacher, how is Jesus master over darkness? He said, let there be light. And darkness comprehended it not. In other words, brother, when he said light, darkness was conquered, and Jesus became the master of that darkness. If you study the Bible in Genesis 1, and between verse 1 and verse 2, something happened. The Bible said, in God created in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it said three things. It said the earth was without form. No, notice, it didn't have any shape. And he said, secondly, it was void. It was empty. And thirdly, he said, in darkness was upon the face of the deep. But I'm glad two things happened. And Jesus proved that there in creation that he was master over that darkness. You know what he said? First of all, he said, in the Spirit moved on the face of the waters. Oh, happy day when the Holy Ghost moved on your waters. I mean the soul on the sea of your life. I want you to know that was a glorious day when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I'm glad that's the first thing. Now notice what he said. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And did you know that's the same light that shined in my dark soul? And I'm glad Jesus is master over the darkness today. When it gets dark tonight, the sun goes down. Remember that darkness has a master. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's master over the kingdom, even of darkness. I'm glad that greater is he that's in you than he that's of this world, which lies in wickedness and sin. Yeah. And I want to show you something, and then I'll go to the second thing he's master of. One day Jesus passed a blind man. He's sitting there, and the disciples said, hey, Jesus, who did you see him? This man or his parents? And you know what Jesus said? Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be manifest in him. Father, sent me while it's day, because the night shall come when no man shall work. And then Jesus said this. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm glad, my friend, listen. He's proved it when he spat on the ground and he made some clay, put it in that man's eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Here's a man that sat in darkness. Here's a man that was born that had never seen a bird fly. He'd never seen a sunrise. He'd never seen a flower. It was in total darkness. And Jesus anointed his eyes and said, go, and ye shall come again seeing. Oh, happy day when he washed those eyes with the healing waters and said for the first time, thank God, I see the light of day. You say, Brother Mace, is that blessed? That's a type of when a sinner sees the light out of the darkness of despair and being lost and being without God. Oh, I'm glad I saw the light. Praise God and the Lamb forever. It's good to know that Jesus is master over darkness. Number two, he's master over the devil. Now, we need to recognize that the devil's mighty, but bless God, he's not almighty. I know one that's got more power than old Slewfoot. Yes. I know one that's already conquered the devil. I stood the other day out at the Mount of Temptation. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible said, in the Spirit led Jesus out in the wilderness to be tempted. And when he got out there, the devil said, and tempted him in these three avenues. But when Jesus got through with him, he always said, it's written, and Jesus overcame and defeated the devil. And I'm glad he's the master. Praise God of the devil. You don't have to worry, my friend. The victory's already been won. I want you to write down something and don't ever forget it. My friend, the battle is the Lord's. The battle has never been ours. The battle is the Lord's. I'll tell you what's ours. The victory's ours. Hallelujah. He fights our battle and we shout the victory. Praise the Lord. I'm glad Jesus is the master over the devil. Isn't that wonderful, my friend? He bruised his head upon Calvary, and Satan's been wounded. But the promise of the eternal and everlasting victory's already been given. Oh, one angel's coming down and grab old Slewfoot one of these days, bind him with a chain, throw him in the pit. And you know what I'd like to do? I can't sing. I'm not a singing preacher. But if the Lord will let me go back and sing a worldly song, I'd like to look in at the devil and sing, "You're in the jailhouse now." Praise God. Amen. For all the trouble he's bothered me. You say, preacher, devil never bothers me. You don't bother him. That's why he don't bother you. Brother, listen to me. When you really work on him, you'll have a little trouble out of him. I have trouble out of the devil all the time. And I believe any church, any preacher that has any fight against the devil's going to have trouble out of it. Now, if you go along and tickle him on the chin, and if you make goo-goo eyes at him, brother, you won't have any trouble. But you look him eyeball to eyeball, spit in his eye once in a while, and brother, you'll have a little trouble out of Slewfoot, and you'll have a little trouble out of the devil. But I want you to know that Jesus, he's master over darkness. He's master over the devil. And then I'm going to come to something that will help some of you this morning, especially our brother right here. He's master over doubt. Now listen, I want to help you this morning about this doubting. And I want you to write this down and never forget it. It's human to doubt. It's human to doubt. If you'll put that down, it'll help you. Humanly, you're going to doubt. But faith is imparted by the divine one. Faith comes from God. My Bible said, if you want faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is imparted by the Lord. But it's human to doubt. You say, I don't believe that. Let's go back. Look at David. He doubted. After God had given him assurance, he said, any day I'll perish if I came to Saul. Look at the greatest man ever born of a woman. John the Baptist said, art thou the Christ? Or should we look for another? Look at Thomas. He wasn't there the first night, but the next Sunday night he was there. And praise God, Jesus walked in the door, or walked through the building without opening the door. And when Thomas saw him, Jesus said, come over here. Come over here. A spirit hath not flesh and not bone. And Jesus held up that hand. And old Thomas had said, I won't believe. I'm a doubter. I can't believe. I doubt unless I put my hand in the nail print. Unless I thrust my hand in the side. One night my wife asked me, said, Mays, did Thomas ever put his hand there? Or did he ever put his hand in the side? I said, I don't think so. I believe when he saw it. Master of doubt gave him blessed assurance, and praise God, I believe. And he cried, my Lord and my God. I'm glad when Jesus comes on the scene, that doubt is mastered by the Son of God. Now, let me say something else to you about this doubting business. You say, well, Preacher Mays, I've always doubted. Three things get in your heart that don't doubt. Don't doubt this word. Oh, don't doubt it. Believe it. Thank God it's so. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I want you, somebody said, you believe it? I believe the backside of it, where it said Holy Bible. I believe every scratch in it, brother. And you say, Preacher Mays, I don't doubt the Bible. You say, do you doubt about Jonah and the whale? Or do you doubt the virgin birth? No, sir. I don't understand it. But I stand amazed and say, I believe. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe it shall be as it was told me. Oh, I don't doubt the Scriptures. Secondly, I don't doubt the Savior. Oh, if you doubt the ability of the Savior, I doubt Mace Jackson's ability. In the flesh, there's no good thing. I know one, Brother Sammy, praise God, who's never lost a battle. I know one who said, Mays, I'll go with you to the end. And I do not doubt the ability of the Savior. And then I don't doubt my salvation. Now, I did doubt my salvation. I first got saved. Devil came to me, and he told me, he said, you're not saved. You know what I'd do? Mama gave me a little Scofield Bible, hardback, you remember those kind? And I wrote in there one day after, I'd get down and pray, Lord, if I'm not saved now, I want you to save me. Devil worried me to death. I was just as much saved as anybody. But I'd get down, the devil would say, you're not saved. So you know what I did one day? I opened up the little Scofield Bible. I took my pen. I said, this day for time and eternity, I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Live or die, sink or swim, this is it. Signed, Brother Mays. And the next time the devil came along and said, you're not saved, I grabbed him by the nape of the neck, stuck his nose down there and said, smell of that bud. I want you to know, bless God, I am saved. And I want you to know today that Jesus is master over doubt. We used to have a theme song on our broadcast. We used it for 30-something years. You know who wrote it? A little blind lady. She lived to be 91 years old. She was blinded after a few days of life in this world. Somebody got something mixed up, and they thought they had some kind of salve or cream. And the doctor caused her to be blind. But she wrote over 700 hymns. One of those hymns goes like this. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, precious of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. I want you to know you can have blessed assurance because Jesus is the master over doubt. Number four, Jesus is the master over defeatism. Now, I want to hit you about something this morning. Most Christians are defeated before they start. I mean, before you start to do something, the devil come get on your shoulder. And listen, you'll be defeated. But I want you to know, bless God, in Christ, we already have the victory. And there is no defeatism in the Lord Jesus Christ. My Bible said, this is the victory, what even your faith, that overcometh the world. The victory is ours. Thanks be unto God who giveth the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. He's our victory. And we shouldn't deny or shouldn't doubt the victory that we have in Him. Well, I want to show you something. Most Christians are like Moses. You know when Moses defeated, before he ever started, God said, go down to Egypt. Lord, said, quit that studying. He's defeated, you see. He's defeated. And God said, Moses, quit it. And Moses said, all right. And Moses said, but who's going to go with me? And the Lord said, I'll go with you. Why, who else do you need? Bless God, if God goes with you. Amen. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. And God said, what's wrong, Moses? Said, well, Lord. He said, what if they ask me who sent me? He said, I'll tell you what to tell them. Tell them the I am of the I am has sent you. Not a has been or will be, but tell them the I am sent you. Tell them that I'm always the I am. Here's something. It'll stagger your imagination, but you listen. He's still the great I am. He's no older today than he was 50 billion years ago. And Calvary is fresh in the mind of God because God's always in the omnipresence. God never gets old, and God never has to look in the future. I'm glad he said, tell him I am, that I am sent you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning for that, beloved? Listen now. And he said, but God said, quit that stuttering. He said, but, and God said, if I made your mouth, I'd tell you, I'd make you speak. You see how he was defeated? And then he said, Lord said, what's that you got in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, throw it on the ground. And Moses threw it on the ground. When he did, it became a snake. And Moses said, excuse me, I'll see you, buddy. And God said, go back and pick it up with the tail. Somebody said, Brother Mays, would you pick a snake up with the tail if God told you? Yeah, but I'd be sure the Lord is on the line talking. Amen. I wouldn't want a disconnect. I wouldn't want a bad connection. I'd want the Lord to be on the line. He said, Moses. says, you go back and pick that tail up. That's about the tail. And he went back and took that tail in his hand, and it became a rod again. And he said, praise God. But he's still defeated. I mean, he was still defeated. He said, God. God said, do something. Take your garment loose right here and put your hand down in your bosom. And hold it a minute. And he reached down and put his hand in his bosom, and God said, Moses, take hither thy hand from thy bosom. And when he pulled that hand out of his bosom, it was spotted with leprosy. And boy, that scared him to death. He didn't know what to do. Did you know if somebody told you you had malignancy this morning and that you was eat up with cancer, it scared you to death? Here's Moses. He had something worse than cancer that day. Leprosy. And God said, you want a sign. And you're defeated. Said, Moses, take your hand. That leprous hand. Put it back down on your naked chest. Oh, he said, God. God said, I said, put it down there. I'm going to give you the victory over this thing right now. And old Moses slipped that leprous hand. Oh, he didn't want it to spread all over his body. But he put that leprous hand back down in his bosom. And God said, Moses, take hither thy hand from thy bosom. And when he pulled that hand out of his chest, he said, praise God, I've got new skin. Woo! Praise God, he got enough faith that he went down there, looked old Pharaoh in the face and said, listen, let my people go. My beloved, most Christians are defeated before they ever start to do the job for God. Let me show you Joshua. Joshua's a little old young fellow, and he said, Lord, Moses is dead. Who am I? God said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Whithersoever thy feet shall touch, I'll make you a real estate owner. And he said, I will fight your battles. Joshua, meditate in my law day and night, and ye shall prosper. I want you to know, my friend, there's victory. Jesus is victorious. He's the master over defeatism. Now let's come to the fifth thing quickly. He's the master over disease. Now somebody said, preacher, do you believe in divine healers? Not these kind you have today. I don't believe in those kind. I believe in the divine healer, God himself. In these rags and all that mess that people are fooling with today. No. I believe, brother, James 5 said, if any sick is among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil. Now, somebody said, you do that? Yeah, I used to keep some in my pulpit. I used to keep a bottle of oil, my wife will tell you. And if one of my deacons got sick, he called me and said, I want you to get some of the elders and pray with me. Brother, we prayed on anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, like the Bible said. But all these healers and quacks, listen, they're quacks and the deceivers. But I say to you today, I know one that's never lost a case. Glory to God. He's the master over disease. There was a little woman, the Bible says, in the book of Mark, and she tried everything, and she is still sick, and she didn't know what to do. And she spent all and tried many physicians. One day somebody knocked at her door and said, have you heard of that new physician down at the Sea of Galilee? Said, praise God, he never writes a prescription, and he never loses a case. Said, his name is the great physician. And he's the master of disease. That little woman got out there and the crowd was pushing Jesus. And she kept getting closer. And you know, wouldn't it be wonderful this morning here in Concord Baptist Church if somebody would muster enough faith. If some mother would just touch Jesus. If some daddy would just touch Jesus. I heard a song the other day, touching Jesus is all I need. And beloved, that's so, just touching Jesus. That's all. Needs. And you say, well, what happened? Listen now. Bible said that little woman got up there close enough, and you know what she did? She just reached out the faith, and I believe she had to plunge and take that finger, and it's as long as old Jimmy's finger. You ever seen old Jimmy's finger? She'll point that finger at you, Jimmy, that old big, long, skinny, bony finger. But that little lady reached out and took that finger and touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, you know what happened? Y'all can look at Jimmy Lou now. I tell you, amen. Yes, sir. She got the longest old bony finger I ever saw. You know. I mean, and he'll point that at me. And she don't know my wife points her finger at me, too, so I get it everywhere. I'll tell you these preachers' wives. But you say, Brother Mays, I don't know how long that finger was, that little woman that had the issue of blood. I do not know how strong she was because she'd had that issue of blood those years. But she was bent double. And when Jesus passed by, she met the master of her disease. She reached out and just touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus turned and said, Who touched me? Oh, let me say to you this morning, I'm glad Jesus is the master over disease. Number six, quickly. Jesus is master over death. One of these days, you're going to come right down this aisle, behind or in front of a coffin, behind the coffin, and you're going to say, Oh, my loved one, my mother, my daddy, my wife, my husband, my girl. Oh, death! Has slept in and crept in and stolen the precious one from me. Death is no respecter of persons. Bible said it's appointed a man once to die, and death is on your trail, and death is on my trail. But did you know I know one that's conquered death? Praise God, I know one that's conquered death. I never will forget several years ago, me and my wife, you ever been to Columbia, South Carolina? I know you have. Columbia's the hottest place I ever saw in my life. I mean, it's hot in Columbia. Brother Sammy's been there in meetings. Yeah. I used to pastor a church out there in Columbia, and we had an old car, and it had air conditioning on it. Somebody said, Did you back in those days? Yeah, we had 260 air conditioning. Rolled two glasses down and drive 60 miles an hour. Praise God. I mean, we had air conditioning on that thing. But I remember one day I went in town. My wife wanted to go into the preacher's department store. You know what that is, a preacher's department store? That's a 5 and 10. And so I stayed out in the car, and we had one boy. And he wiggled. You know how preachers young ones, they'll wiggle. They're the wiggliest young ones in the world. And that little old boy of mine was wiggling. I said, Be still. Your mother will be back in a moment. But you know what I had in that car? I never have them. I mean, I had no Broadmoor hymnal. And I had Broadmoor hymnals in that car. And I said, Oh! And I looked at that, and I don't, because I'm not a singer, and I never will forget that a bee came in that car and said, shoom, and hit that windshield, started up and down that windshield, and I knew he'd sting my boy. My boy's there grabbing at that old bee, and he's grabbing at that old bee, and he's grabbing at that old bee, and finally that bee lit there on a dash, and I said, Hold it, I'll get him, and I hit that bee, and you know what happened? I knocked his stinger and his core out, and I reached down and ducked that bee, and he still had the, you know, those things here, and he sounded bad, and I held him in my hand. I said, Now you can have him. And he reached over and got him and held him and then let him go. And the bee didn't sting him. You know why? Because I got his stinger out. I want you to know 1900 years ago, death raised his head up. Jesus got his arm around death's neck and squeezed him so hard. He got his stinger out. And Jesus walked out and said, Oh, there's no more sting. Thank God, I'm so glad that Jesus is master over death. He said, Because I live, you live also. Let me show you something. First time I went to Jerusalem, I don't like to talk of. You know, I hate to hear a preacher talk about knowing Greek.
That's right.
My wife will tell you, I studied that stuff 2 years, and I ran me crazy. Lord God, I hope there's no Greek in heaven. I mean, Greek books, everything's the worst thing. I'd get up in the morning studying that old Greek. Well, I can't even talk good English. I didn't need Greek. But that Greek's a mess. But I went over there, and I got to that tomb 20 years ago. And when I got to that tomb where Jesus, boy, I couldn't wait. I mean, I went to Calvary. I want to go to Calvary, but I want to get to that tomb. I went down there, and I said to Brother Matter, I want to get inside where they put Jesus' feet, where they laid his head. He said, You can't go in, Brother Mays. I said, Yeah, I came all these miles. I want to get in there. He said, You can't go in, Brother Mays. I said, This gate inside, if you ever been over there, you know, you get in, and there's a gate there. You can't get in there where the graves were. You can go in the tomb, but you have to bend over and stand there and look through some old bars and a door. And I said, Brother Matter, now I've been writing you a long time. I want you to let me in there. He said, Brother Mays, I've got to go out in the garden. And he said, There's a key behind that rock right there. And nobody's supposed to go in there. But I'll be out in the garden. I said, Hurry, you got a lot of work to do, and I got something to do right in here. And so he went out, and when he got out, he got that key, and I opened that door, and I took off my shoes. You say, Why? Well, I didn't feel like walking on a place where they laid my Lord and where his body was for 3 days and 3 nights. But I want to tell you, I took off my shoes and I went in there. I had prayer and I bowed down my knees and I said, Thank you, Lord. The same Spirit that raised you from the dead is the same Spirit that's going to quicken those days. And I said, Glory! coming out of here. Glory to God. And then I laid down. And I put my feet where Jesus' feet had been. I put my head where Jesus' head had been. I folded my hands. And I said, Lord, I know it's not too hard for you to do, but let me feel a little bit of the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. You say, what happened? You'd be surprised. Something ran in the top of my head, the tip of my toes. And I thought the second resurrection had already taken place, brother. Whoa! You say, Brother Mays, I'm glad Jesus conquered death. He's master over death. And when he came down there to Bethany, I've been to Bethany many times, and I stood at Bethany that first time, and as I stood there, I could just hear Jesus as he put his hand up, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had been dead for 4 days and 4 nights got up. You say, why? Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, he that believeth on me, though he's dead, yet shall he live again. And I'm glad, my friend, because he lived, he conquered death. Let me show you something. If you go over to Jerusalem, I hope you can. We'll go again this year. And we go every year. We have a shouting crowd. Now, if you don't like a shouting crowd, don't go with me. But we have a shouting crowd. I mean, the crowd, you never saw that. They shout all over Jerusalem. I mean, we was 12 of us over there one time at Cephas' house. You've heard Sandy preach about Cephas' house. There where they denied Jesus, and that crowd of mine got to shouting. So when I said, quit shouting, they denied the Lord around here. And a preacher came out, and I said to that priest, I said, you ever seen such shouters as these? He said, yeah. Said some Lebanese came in here on new wine one time and said they acted like that. I said, yeah, but this crowd's got some wine from heaven. And I said, glory to God, that's why they're shouting. But we shouted all over Jerusalem. I mean, we shouted all up and down the streets. And you say, Brother Mays, I'd have been ashamed of you. Listen, you might be, but one day when Jesus comes back, I'm going back over there and shout again right down the streets of Jerusalem. Boy, little children's going to play and their hearts will be gay. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, why? But if you go there, you ring a little bell, and a man opens the door, and you come inside a court. And now that they've got a gift shop, you know, they're like Baptists, say, you know, they get to sell you something, and you got a gift shop. And then you look over there, and there's the tomb. And then you look up there, there's Calvary. And you look over there, there's the wine press. And I came in there years ago, and Brother Matter's house is inside the garden tomb, at the gate there. And he said, I want you to come over to the house. I said, all right, I'll come over to your house, sir. And we went to his house. And he said to me, he said, Brother Mays, I live here 18 years. I said, good. He said, you know what I do every time somebody rings that little bell and wants to see? He said, MacArthur came there, rang that bell, and I opened that gate, and I said to him the same thing I said to you. He not here, he risen. He not here, he risen. Said the Queen of England came, and I said, he not here. He risen, said the greatest people in the world has come. And every time they ring that bell, I open that door, I say, he not here, he's risen. And I said, amen. He said, you know what I've done for 18 years every morning when I get out of bed? I said, no, what do you do, Brother Matter? He said, before I brush my teeth, before I comb my hair, he said, before I wash my hands, he said, before I read the Bible, he said, before I pray, I walk over here to this window, look out there at the mouth of that tomb, hold up my hand and say, praise God, he's not here, he's risen. Say, every morning I say, praise God, he's not here, he's risen. You know what happened to Solomon Matter? My wife used to write him, and I knew him well, and he's a fine Christian Arab. You know what happened to him in the Six-Day War? He and his wife and little German secretary got up in the tomb. In the Six-Day War, they're shooting them round there, boy, left and right in Jerusalem. And Brother Matter's wife said, honey, if they ring the bell when you get out to go get food at the house, see, the food's inside the court, just about 60 feet or 70 feet from the mouth of the tomb. Said, when you get out, please don't open the door. He said to her, he said, honey, I never have refused to open the door. And if somebody rings, I'll open it today. And he slipped out to get food on the third day of that war. And he rang a bell. And Solomon Matter went over and opened the door and said, pray God, he not here, he had risen. And two Israeli soldiers took machine guns and shot him down. And when they left, they ransacked the house. Miss Matter got out of the tomb and went out and dragged her dead husband over to the front of that tomb. You know what she told me? She said, I knelt down by my dead husband and said, Jesus, Jesus, I know that he's with you now. Said, wasn't it wonderful? Said he opened that door and he told him that you wasn't here. And said, the next minute he's up there with you. Praise God. Said, I'm glad that you live and the tomb is empty now. Let me say to you, I'm glad that Jesus is the master over death. Now, here's the last thing, and I'll close. He's the master over damnation. You say, Brother Mays, what do you mean, damnation? I mean, this brother teaches over at Brother Sackler's. Brother Sackler's got a great little book called about telling about Jesus going to hell, dying on the cross is what the book is about. How that Jesus suffered your hell upon that cross. How Jesus suffered my hell upon that cross. John says in Revelation chapter 1, oh, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and you remember that. And he said, I saw him, he came and laid his hand on him and said, fear not, for I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of death and hell. I'm glad, he said, I'm the master over that place. When he was on the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. And when the rich man in hell, Luke 16, lifted his eyes up, he said, I thirst. Did you know Jesus was taking your thirst and my thirst and your judgment and my judgment? And the fires of hell actually licked upon him. And the wrath of God, his sin was poured out upon him. It was on him because Jesus had to master damnation. He had to conquer and be the master of hell itself. I'm glad he's the master of damnation. Aren't you glad? Let me tell you this, and I will close. I used to go over to a place in Pennsylvania. I told you the other night about it. And the man's name was Earl Thomas. And Earl Thomas was a great friend of mine. He was a crippled man. Crippled man. But he's a great preacher, stood for God. I mean, preachers down here have never suffered like Earl suffered. I mean, they'd come shoot the windows out of his house. They'd throw liquor bottles out in his yard. They'd call him and threaten to kill his wife and kill his children. And old Earl will keep out on the preaching up there in Clarence, Pennsylvania. But there's a place called Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Now, many of you know about Punxsutawney because that's where the groundhog comes out every year. And they tell it around the world. So I don't even believe in that groundhog mess myself, but a lot of people do. But that's where it is, Punxsutawney. But you know what Punxsutawney is? It's a little oil mining. It used to be an oil mining town. Every house on Main Street, every house is two stories. And years ago, there's a woman that lived on the end of Main Street in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And that woman owned 51% of Penn's Oil. 51% of Penn's Oil. She was a multi-millionaire. Still lived in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. It was in early November. It was snowing one night, just coming down just a little bit. And her house caught on fire. And the people of the town came out to do what they could. And the fire department did all that they could do. Finally, the chief said, nobody can go in. Said, if she's still upstairs, she's suffocated in smoke. And said, any second now, the roof will fall in. The whole house will cave in. It's too late. And while he's talking to the firemen and pushing them back, he said, you can't go in. It's too late to save the old lady that owns 51% of Penn's Oil. A little tramp had walked up with a stick over his shoulder. And when he walked up, he heard what they said. He looked over and he saw a blanket. And he saw some water. And he jumped out without saying anything to the chief and grabbed that blanket, dipped it in that water, put it over his head, ran up on that porch of that burning building there on the end of Main Street in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And he ran inside the smoke and he was glad because she had made it down nearly to the bottom of the steps. I mean, he'd have never made it up the steps, but she had made it nearly down, and she'd collapsed. And he heard her, and he went over with the owner and put it over her. And she hadn't been burned, just smoke, just about to suffocate smoke. And he dragged her out into the yard, out far enough where he could drop her. And he dropped her, and the people shouted, and they laughed. And they hollered, and they screamed, and some cried, he saved her! He saved her! And when they said, he saved her, listen, the house caved in. I mean, the thing went in. And boy, it was gone. And then they did scream. And they got so happy screaming and thanking God for the man that went in that had the thing over his head that they forgot about him. And he slipped away in the night. 11 years passed by. That woman got better after about 3 weeks there in the little hospital in Punxsutawney. And when she got better in 3 weeks, she said, find that person that came in there for me. I'm going to build him a mansion and give him the biggest estate he's ever had. He's a millionaire. Tell him! They tell me that they don't know who he was. That he slipped away. They found the blanket. They found the scorched blanket, but they never found him. Find him! He's a millionaire. If you'll find the man that saved me. And they couldn't find him. He said he was about 11 years after that. And it was in October, and the snow was just about ready to start again. And a little old tramp walked down Punxsutawney Main Street. He walked up to the biggest, modest house there that had been rebuilt in the old plaster. He said, "My, it's nice. Lord, I guess you got glory, didn't you? Out of the old house burning. Glad you let me help that woman. Glad I never told nobody. Lord, I don't want to tell nobody. Glad you helped me, though." He said, "I'm awful hungry." He said, "I wonder if I'd slip around to the back of that house, if I'd knock on the door, if a servant would give me a biscuit, that's all. It looked like what I did. Maybe they could give me a biscuit." And he went around, knocked on the door, and the door opened up, but it had a chain on it. It wouldn't open so much. And a little old lady said, "Who are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm just hated, don't have a place to sleep, and I'm just passing through." And he said, "I'd like a biscuit. I won't hurt you, ma'am." She said, "Well, my servants are gone. But if you wait right there, my, you'll burn. Your hands, how did you get all them burns? And your face there." "Oh," he said, "there's nothing there, ma'am. If you give me a biscuit, I'll be on my way." And she went back and got him a plate out of the cupboard and came back and said, "I can't open the door. I'll just stick it through by this chain." And he said, "I won't bother you. I ain't never hurt anybody." She said, "They don't like me, but I ain't never hurt anybody." And she said, "Before I hand you this food, will you tell me, were you in war? Did you get shot up there?" And he said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Tell me." He said, "No, I can't tell you, ma'am. If you don't want to give it to me, I'll just go on hungry." She said, "No, I'll give it to you." He said, "Well, it was like this. It was about 10, 11 years ago now, ma'am. I came down the street here, and there's a fire. And boy, when he said there was a fire, she opened that door and threw up her hands and said, 'Let me see those hands.' She said, 'They were burned for me.'" "Let me see your face. It was burned for me. I'm that woman that you dragged out. And I've been waiting to give you all the wealth of Penn Oils. I own 51%, sir. You're rich. You're rich." And he said, "Well, I saw the flames and I ran in and got you out of the flames 1900 years ago when the flames was licking up after me. Jesus on that cross reached out. Oh, and Jesus' hands were burned. Jesus, listen to me. He conquered damnation. Pulled me as a firebrand out of the burning. God, Jesus rescued me, and someday I'm going to see him. I'm going to look at those hands. I'm going to look at that brow. Oh, and I'm going to thank him. He's the master. Hallelujah, damnation. He's the master. Every head bowed, every eye closed. He's the master. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? The night upon the sea, the mighty billows did roll. That night upon the sea, the wind did blow. And the disciples said, "Our boat's full. We've got to have help. Jesus cares not."
Yes.
And Jesus cared. And Jesus cared enough to stand up. And he stilled the storm.
Yes.
Bless his name. Did you know that Jesus is here this morning? Oh, I'm glad through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is here. He said, "If I go away, I'll send another. He'll testify me." Now, he's testified to you this morning. Some of you, the boat's full. Oh, some of you, the old waves are beating against your ship. The wind is blowing. The greatest miracle was not at the Sea of Galilee, but it's when the Lord steps up in your life. Holds up his hand and said, "Peace be still." I wonder today, while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you know the Lord? How many of you can say, "Preacher, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Brother Mays, everything's clear between me and heaven. Hold up your hand, let me see it high." If you know that, amen. Isn't that wonderful? All right, now take your hand down. I wonder how many of you Christians have had a storm to go through. I mean, you've been in a storm. It's been rough, hasn't it? Remember that Jesus is the master of the sea of your life. Thank God if you'll get that in your heart this morning, it'll be worth your coming to this revival. Jesus is the master of the sea of your life. Why don't you turn everything over and say, Jesus, here I am. Take me and use me. Jesus, here I am. Take me and use me. And then I want to ask you the second question today. How many of you said, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not right with God, but I want to raise it now. Would you slip up your hand? Let me see it. Slip it up. Let me see it. I want to pray for you. Hold up your hand. Let me see it back there. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand, ma'am. Is there another? Raise your hand. God bless you right here, young lady. I see it. Is there another? Jesus is here. The storm's beating on your soul. The wind's blowing. But Jesus wants to step up and say, peace be still. Is there another? Say, Brother Mace, pray for me. We've had two ladies. Are there others? Are there others? Quickly this morning. Oh, you say, Preacher, God spoke to me. Why don't you just lift that hand and say, Brother Sammy, I want you and Brother Mace to pray for me. Would you do that? Anyone else? Mother, dad, son, or daughter, father, I thank you for the master of the sea. Oh, I'm so glad you're able to do what we can't do. I'm glad when the boat's full. Lord, when the wind is blowing and when the waves are beating upon us, that you can step up in our lives and say, peace be still. Lord, somebody's boat's full today. That old boat's full. They don't know where to turn. They haven't turned to you. But I pray when we stand and sing in just a moment that these two ladies will come running first down to this altar. Whatever they need, they'll find it in Jesus, we know. Then, Lord, that others may come and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look this way. We're going to stand and sing what, brother?
81.
Number 81, just as I am. Brother Sammy's here. I want you too that raise your hand to come first. I want you to come right on down. We're going to pray with you. I believe there's a young man back there that raised his hand. And a young lady, and then there's a young lady right here. I believe there were three that raised their hands. And while we sing, I want you three to come right on. Step out. We're going to pray for you. You that raised your hand, come right on. We're going to pray, all right? While we sing, come quickly. Come right on today. Come on. Amen. Yes, just as I am. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Thank God he's speaking. And that may come to thee. O Lamb of God. Just come right on while we sing. All right, while God's dealing with you, come right on, come right on. Come right on while God's dealing with you. Don't wait. Listen, God's dealing with you this morning. The Holy Ghost is moving on your soul. Your boat's full. Your ship's about to sink. I mean, the storm is raging. But you can come. Would you come? Would you do it? Would you do it? O Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. All right, I want you to bow your head just a moment. Thank God for these three that have come. Listen, there's some more back there. Listen, God's dealing with you. The storm's beating on you today. I mean, you've been in a storm, haven't you? The wind's been beating on your soul. Your boat's full. And my friend, it's going to sink if you don't do something. I mean, Jesus is the master of the sea. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can say, peace be still. He's the only one. Friend, don't. Please, don't. Please, don't turn him away. Father, we're going to sing that last stanza. Oh, God, there's some mothers and daddies. Lord, there's some boys and girls back there. Their hearts are heavy this morning. Lord, they've been in a storm. God, you sent this message to them, and yet they are turning it away. I pray in Jesus' name. Oh, right now, as we sing this last stanza, that others will come, that others will get right with God this morning. Lord, may there not be another one. Oh, lead this church. May there not be a soul walk out of this building, man or woman, boy or girl, till that one knows he's right with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing that last stanza with our brother. Come on. Come on today. Oh, he's the master of the sea. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Yes, yes.
Because thy promise was faithful, of God I come.
Somebody else ought to come. Let's sing the last stanza one more time. Somebody else needs to come. Yes, sir.